Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
According to their website, the National Education Association, the nation's largest union, quote, has affiliate organizations in every state and in more than 14,000 communities across the United States. It goes on to say, we bring the expertise, drive, and dedication of 3 million educators and allies to advancing justice and excellence in public education, unquote. The NEA was founded in 1857, so our children's education should be in good hands. Well, not exactly. My guest today is Greg Quinlan. He's president of the Center for Garden State Families. Thanks, Greg, for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how are the Garden State families doing under your current leadership, under your current political leadership?
Our political leadership, New Jersey is going as far to, they're going farther left than Karl Marx ever dreamed of.
Oh, my.
That's kind of where we're headed. So, yes, we are now going to exempt librarians and other school employees, that's public and school librarians, from pandering obscenity to a minor.
So they can get away with it.
We had a school library and testify in the state legislature that there is no porn in the library.
Oh, wow.
Although we have proof otherwise, and the police actually agree with us that it's porn.
But the legislature has passed a law that says the librarians don't have to follow the law when it comes to obscenity, pornography?
Yes, it passed the lower chamber, the New Jersey Assembly, and now we are waiting on it to start moving in the Senate, and the sponsor of that is radical atheist, anti-Christian, nuclear physicist, the troll under the bridge, Senator Andrew Zwicker, who wants this bill passed. He's also the one who introduced what I call the child mutilation bill.
Oh, my goodness.
The transgender, affirming bill, which we now know that's another radio program, but we can talk about transgenderism and how Europe is now rejecting the 60-year precedent they've done in doing sexual reassignment surgery.
Yeah. Or attempting to. Yeah, but the U.S. is not, the U.S. is nowhere near that at this point, unfortunately. So,
they're copying what they did. They're copying Europe, but Europe has now figured out that what they were doing is wrong.
Right, exactly. But the U.S. hasn't figured that part out yet. The U.S., those who are in power have not figured out, or they don't want to admit that what they're doing is destroying the lives of children, really, for children and teens.
Well, that is their aim, and there's the money behind it.
I think the money is the real thing behind it, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So you've attended several NEA, or National Education Association, conferences, which always tend to fall around July 4th, over July 4th weekend, which always bothered me. But anyway, what's your impression of the NEA? I mean, they've been around since 1857. Surely they have all their ducks in a row as far as how best to educate our children. Has that been your impression?
No, that's not been my impression for them in modern times. People don't know with that. When they were founded in 1857, the teachers that were there were sharing, even up until the 1940s, were sharing recipes and Bible verses.
Oh, wow.
With each other. You won't find that now. In fact, you will find it being cleansed of anything Christian and anything conservative. The LGBTQIA-XYZ++++++++ and more pluses.
Infinite, yeah, right.
Agenda. Their caucus has an entire side of one aisle for their booth to advertise their wares, and get teachers in. They hold a banquet every time they're there, which the banquet went on as planned, by the way, even though the NEA conference was canceled after the first day because the union decided to strike the union,
which
is beautiful.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll get to that. But that's the NEA to me. The NEA has now become something that is, the students, the children, are pawns to advance a Marxist agenda.
Yeah, they're definitely pro-abortion, they're pro-LGBTQ, the whole alphabet soup, plus pro-DEI, pro-woke, whatever. And definitely, like you said, their center attention on the children is to remake them in the image of the NEA, the Marxist correct.
And
it, views.
And a former president of the NEA, I think the one that that preceded Ms. Pringle is there now, said that when the students pay dues, he'll represent them. So this is what we're, this is the kind of organization we're talking about. But when you actually look at the NEA and what it's doing, is it actually protecting teachers? Is it advancing the profession? Only if in advancing the profession does it advance the political agenda, the Marxist agenda, mm-hmm. which is the anti-Christian, anti-Constitution agenda.
Absolutely. I know this year they had their conference in Philadelphia, actually, at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. And this year was a little bit different, as you mentioned a little bit ago, but I was surprised, well, I guess not really surprised, that the LGBTQ crowd still had their banquet, like every year?
Yes, they went ahead and had their banquet. There were a couple of other caucus meetings and parties that took place, you know, the state caucuses.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, no, it wasn't. Although the caucus that I was with as a guest, helping them with the booth, simply because of my knowledge on the alphabet soup,
right,
having been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt, we worked on looking at what they were attempting to do, how they were attempting to do it, even though now they were not able to do it.
Right. Tell the listeners here what happened. They met day one. What happened day two?
Well, day two, we go in there to get the booth started. We're at the booth, and we're ready to get, we're putting papers out and getting our booth together again, resituating it. And then somebody comes by and says that you have to leave. You can come back and break down the booth later. And they didn't tell us why. So then we all wind up out in the hallway, and others are looking at each other. This is every booth. It didn't matter who it was. Mm-hmm. The LGBTQ, you know, there's actually a Republican caucus as well as the Democrat caucus,
okay.
A women's caucus. There are a couple of caucuses actually about advancing education, special needs. That's good. There's a creation caucus, Christian, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. caucus, and mm-hmm. there's a pro-life caucus.
Okay.
But all of us had to leave. No matter why you were there or what your purpose was, we all had to leave.
And my thought would be some were thinking a terrorist attack or something. I mean, I would think that would have gone through some people's mind anyway.
Well, if there was a terrorist attack, I think it would be more than just the NEA staff telling us that. But you did start to wonder what was
mm-hmm.
going on.
Right.
And when we got out there, you know, of course, the rumor mill started, and they said that the NEA, the staff, the National Education Association staff organization, called a strike because they had not received an increase in salary or benefits for 10 years.
Wow.
But however, the executives of the NEA have increased their compensation numerous times in the last 10 years.
Oh, really? Yeah, my understanding
yes.
is the NEASO, that's the National Education Association staff organization, which is, like you said previously, the union within the union, they're the ones who actually run the organization in Washington, D.C., at the headquarters. That's my understanding.
Yes, the day-to-day operations. They also were the ones that, you know, they're the ones that are the cogs in the convention itself.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, they're the ones that run it, make sure it's all mm-hmm. going well. They do the audiovisual, they do the mics, they handle the paperwork, they make the, you know, and like for us, when we need more copies done of the material that we're hounding out for mm-hmm. our ex-gay educators caucus,
right,
we can go to them and they'll make copies for us if we run out.
Okay.
You know, some of our other stuff, they couldn't possibly make copies of it because they're published booklets.
Right.
Which we were passing out the newest one from the Change Movement, which I'm a part of.
Uh-huh.
And that's the I'm drawing a blank. But that's. You know, we were passing that one out, and we had literally passed out 2/3 of what we had for our entire week the first day. So we were very successful with that. It's an extremely well done. So that's Changed Movement, which is out of Redding, California.
Okay. Well,
yes.
Fantastic. And you gave them like two-thirds away that first day?
That first day we gave, yeah.
Wow.
We only had 50, and we gave about 2/3 of them away.
Wow. Yeah, my understanding is they're also objecting to the fact they were not being paid. They're not being paid holiday pay for that 4th of July conference. They weren't being paid extra because of higher-ups in the NEA decided not to pay them holiday pay. Also,
that's right.
My understanding is that the NEA is outsourcing some of their work to contractors, and the NEASO, the staff organization, said they have a receipt for $8,500 for 3 days of hairstyling for the NEA president, Becky Pringle. Whoa. Okay, yeah. Her hair must be a mess.
That's a lot of work. You know, uh-huh. you'd think she'd know how to do her own hair.
I would think so. Oh, Anyway.
I mean, we're not talking about Marie Antoinette here. You know, we're not talking about, you know, a triple beehive. We are just talking about the basic. It looks like a basic cut. I mean, it looks fine in her hair.
Yeah.
But why it would take $8,000 to do it is you've got to start wondering. Yeah. What's this about? Somebody thinks more of themselves than they should.
Yeah, definitely sounds like that's the case. So my understanding is that they've been working without a contract since May 31st, I believe. So the negotiations have basically gone nowhere. And as you mentioned, the staff organization members have not had a pay raise. There's 300 to 350 members of that staff organization union, and they've not had a pay raise for a decade, where the executives have had pay raises.
That's correct.
Yeah. So this happened day two. So there's a picket line. So was anyone allowed to go back in?
Yeah, we were eventually allowed to go back in to get our materials,
okay,
to box up and get our materials, which we did. The three organizations, separate ones, had to do that. And so, yeah, so all the expense that we had, too. You know, I had a reservation that I couldn't get out of for my hotel.
Yeah.
For actually, it was 7 days because I came in the day before, of course.
Oh, wow.
And then the conference lasted for almost 5 days. And then I was planning to do a little sightseeing, which I got to do a lot more.
Oh, yeah, yeah, more time,
you know,
right.
Yeah, with the expense of that, but, you know, it was, you know, and I didn't get to raise a whole lot of money for this trip, because that's what I have to do, because I have no other way of paying for it.
Right.
Yeah, next year will be quite more expensive, because it's on the other side of the country. It's, it's in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, much more conservative than Philadelphia, I understand. Uh-huh, yeah. Exactly.
Not.
Exactly.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, basically, they shut down the conference because no one wanted to cross the picket line. And my understanding that there was going to be a special guest come in, I think Sunday night, and that special guest named Joe Biden did not want to cross the picket line either, so he didn't show up. Of course, there was no conference at that point.
Yes, that was their excuse for closing us down, not to cross their employees' picket line. We want to respect their right to strike.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And as for Joe Biden, that might have been a blessing for him.
That's true. And for everyone in attendance also, I would think. So what
it would have been painful to watch. Yes.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Did you watch the debate?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I'm still recovering.
Yes, painful to watch. So what were some of the, with that, all that happened, you know, shutting it down on day two, they were not able to address any of the new business items, their NBIs. What were some of those new business items that they were not able to address?
Well, one of those, which I thought they'd get to the first day, was to condemn Israel for genocide, which, by the way, the night before, there was a protest that's supporting Palestine, which really doesn't exist.
Right.
You know, that's a whole other story, but what I call the fake country.
Mm-hmm.
These are Jordanians with Jordanian passports that suddenly want their own separate country, and they want to invade the one that already exists.
Yeah.
We already know this is the land that God promised Abraham, and it's for over 3,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And there have been Jews continuously occupying that land from that time.
Right. But hey, you know, revising history, that's just a part of revising history as they're doing.
Yeah. Well, that is the Marxist thing. Yeah. We erase history, tear down the statues, you know, they are the ones that burn the books and the police stations and businesses and the cars. Yes.
Yeah.
Attack the police. But we're the ones that are a threat. We're the terrorists.
We're domestic terrorists. Yeah.
We are a domestic terrorist. Mm-hmm. We're an insurrectionist. We're all those things.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was the first one, which they did not get to do. There was an pro-open borders NBI.
Open borders, you mean like southern U.S. open borders?
Yes, like those, which, by the way, if people don't know, they're also coming across the northern border.
Yeah.
I was at a conference with Gordon Chang,
mm-hmm.
who had a lieutenant colonel with him, who was talking about Chinese who were coming across the border in Maine being met by other Chinese who were already here.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, be prepared, folks. Be in prayer. Ask the Lord's protection, because there is something coming.
Yeah.
And should Trump win the election, that will happen sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it'll happen before Election Day so that we don't have an Election Day.
Yeah, that's been my thought. Yeah, that's what I'm
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The other NBIs are mandatory COVID vaccinations for all school personnel, even though we know they're dangerous and people are dying from heart attacks and blood clots and strokes and other issues. People are having neurological disorders, all sorts of permanent immunodeficiency syndromes of many kinds.
Yep.
So, and the NCA supports the International Transgender Visibility Day and the Coming Out Day for LGBTQIA-XYZ++. The NEA promotion of the World Hijab Day.
Oh.
Yes. Uh-huh. In February 2025. I
didn't even know there was such a day.
Well, they're making it up.
Okay, that's not surprising.
Yeah, NEA support for pro-Palestinian free speech in all K-12 schools, college and universities.
Wow.
This NBI, if passed, would cost the union $127,069.
Wow.
Don't ask why. I don't know. But that's what it would cost. There's a cost with it.
Yeah.
Virtual participation options for future NEA delegates who are immunocompromised, meaning they took the shot, or have other medical conditions because they took the shot. This NBI, if passed, would cost $5 million.
Why?
That's another good question.
Why can't they just have a Zoom meeting? You know, just
that for a Zoom meeting, it'll cost $5 million.
Okay.
The NEA support for inclusive language in all schools with self-identifying pronouns, gender identity, access to bathrooms and sports teams according to their self-identified gender.
Yeah, boys in the girls' bathroom, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, violating nature and violating the civil rights of other students.
Yeah.
In order to accommodate the civil rights of a few.
Yeah, and teachers getting fired for not using the right pronouns. Yeah.
Right. Or students being suspended and attacked. Mm-hmm. Already had that happen in a school up here, and we can't even get a lawyer to take the case.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's another story. I've got several for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Recognition on the NEA calendar of Muslim holidays, including Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr, whatever that is.
I
totally mispronounced those because I don't know how.
But the Muslim holidays or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. Acknowledging and highlighting of Jewish American Heritage Month. What a token. They threw that in. Former NEA members and the public about the U.S. Supreme Court and its departure from long-standing, well-accepted legal principles, especially those decisions impacting affirmative action, reproductive rights, and same-sex couples. Anyway, those are not long-standing. We're a nation that's 248 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, so that's nonsense.
And basically,
this has only been in our lifetime. Yes,
right.
Go.
And basically, the NEA is saying that their members don't know anything and can't find out that information without their help. To me, that's an insult to NEA members. Like, you know, you have to depend upon us, the union. We know everything. We'll let you know what we want you to know. When we want you to know it. Yeah, that's insulting right within itself.
Yes. And also, to the theme in so many of the speeches and talk was democracy, democracy, democracy.
Oh, sounds like a Democratic line to me. They must be a bunch of Democrats.
Wouldn't you think so?
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, I heard that they have endorsed Joe Biden for president, which is not a surprise whatsoever. But I also heard that there was going to be something brought up during the convention that some of the members wanted stipulations in order to endorse Biden. And one of the stipulations was he must orchestrate a ceasefire in Gaza. But that wasn't discussed either, obviously, since the convention was canceled.
Well, the peace deal with Gaza would come and they surrendered all the hostages.
Well, exactly. And that's exactly what Benjamin Netanyahu was saying, basically. You know, release the hostages who are still living. I mean, how many are still living as far as that goes?
Well, the remains of those who are not.
Who are not, yeah.
At least give the family, you know, that. But, besides the fact that you raped little children and beheaded babies in your raid, you monsters.
Yeah. But the NEA seems to be okay with that. If they're willing to include Muslim holidays on the NEA calendar and that they are pro-Palestinian, that one of the new business items was, you know, pro-Palestinian, including Muslim holidays on the calendar, plus that world hijab. Is that how you pronounce that?
The wearing of the hijab.
Right.
Yes.
So none of those were brought up. But you did say some of the caucuses did meet and the LGBTQ crowd had their banquet as usual. So those things did go on. So do you know if they're going to address any of these, or you have no way of knowing if these will be addressed in mini conferences or via Zoom meeting?
As far as we know, they canceled the entire event. So none of the business is taking place.
Okay.
And because they've got issues now, too, because they're unable to handle so much of, they can't function without their staff.
Right. But my understanding is that there was some retaliation from the NEA. They found them, the striking workers found themselves stranded when the NEA made the decision to cancel their hotel rooms and return flights home from the convention and cut off access to the work emails and phones mid-trip. And,
wow, I had no idea they did that to them. Now, that really shows they're not negotiating in good faith.
Oh, exactly. And on July 7th, the NEA informed staff members they will be locked out of work until a contract is reached. They will not be paid and will not work until they reach an agreement on a contract.
That I did know. I didn't know that they were holding them hostage.
Oh, yeah, they are. That says a whole lot about the NEA and how much they appreciate or don't appreciate the staff workers who are really keeping that organization going.
Yeah.
For good or bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for good or bad, you know, they're doing their job.
Right.
They're getting paid. I don't agree with what they're doing.
Right.
But, you know, I certainly don't agree with much of what NEA stands for.
But, you know,
I respect the rules. I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there as a guest of a recognized caucus.
Right.
And for the most part, the staff treats me very well.
Good.
We do have a couple of people that don't treat us well. That happens every year. They come by every year thinking that if they say the right words, we'll run and close the caucus.
Run and hide. Yeah.
Right. Which, by the way, I would like to announce that this caucus has now been in existence for 20 years.
Wow. And this is the ex-gay caucus.
Yeah. Well, it's called the ex-gay educators caucus.
Okay.
Okay. The founder is no longer the chairperson, but she does attend and helps to staff the booth. A person who's never been gay is the actual chair of the caucus, which is another thing that irritates the daylights out of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, you know, if they want to affirm a person's right to behave as they want and identify as they want, then they need to understand we have this, which, if you remember correctly, this all came about as a court case which involved PFOX, the organization for which I used to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
When back in, when was that? 2003, I think it was, when they were meeting in Washington, D.C., PFOX was going to, organization itself, mm-hmm. was going mm-hmm. to exhibit at their expo. And everything was accepted, and then suddenly everything was sent back to us, including our check. So when we asked why, they didn't want to associate with us. So, you know, we sued, and we lost the suit. The judge in the District of Columbia said that, you know, the NEA has a right to accept or reject the people they want to associate with. Okay. But what was wonderful about it is that the Division on Civil Rights in the District of Columbia, who helped with the NEA defend themselves in the lawsuit, said that ex-gays were heterosexuals and they were not recognized as a minority class, which the judge came back and said that in the District of Columbia, the civil rights laws there are so broad that ex-gays would have to be recognized as a separate identity, a separate minority.
So, in other words,
they could not deny the ex-gay educators caucus because of that hearing.
It would be discriminatory to do so.
That's correct.
Okay, good.
And this was a black judge, so go figure that out.
Yeah. Well, he obviously had read the Constitution or read the law. Unlike so many, no matter what the color, so many of them don't read the Constitution nor the existing laws and come out with some very crazy decisions. So do you think that there is any hope for the NEA? You know,
I don't see the left, if they can help it, allowing this organization to die. It's too vital and too useful for their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that happening, but we'll have to wait and see. You know, there's a lot of talk about what's going on. We just don't know. And, you know, they're probably fuming at the press. And, of course, you know, Becky Pringle, I don't know her. I'm sure she's a nice lady, you know, face to face. But she's getting a lot of heat from her own people,
not just
her employees.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, so there's that happening. So there's a lot of turmoil. And we'll see how they survive it, how they handle it, and what the consequences are in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad that you've been able to attend these conferences and to report back as to what you've seen, what you've witnessed and stuff. And I'm glad that the ex-gay caucus has been there, you said, for 20 years?
Yes.
Wow, that is
fantastic. But I do need to make this clear, and I should have done this at the outset. I am not a member of the ex-gay educators caucus. I'm not a member of the NEA, and I'm speaking on behalf of my own experience. I am there solely as a person to help them staff the booth. I'm there as a guest, as an exhibitor for the nonprofit caucus called the ex-gay Educators Caucus.
Yeah.
So that's my sole purpose for being there. I don't speak for the NEA, and I don't speak for the ex-gay Educators Caucus.
Right.
I'm just telling you our experiences as we were there.
See, and that's what I wanted to do with this program, is to get an eyewitness account as to what was there and what happened. and such as that. So, I mean, you are the president of the Center for Garden State Families. How can folks contact you if they want information about New Jersey politics or New Jersey anything, or any, even information, additional information about this conference that wasn't?
The Center for Garden State Families is a Christian family advocacy organization located in New Jersey. You can visit us on our website at gardenstatefamilies.org. That's plural, gardenstatefamilies.org. And, of course, you can contact us at any time. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we accept donations gladly and need them. And we are fighting the fight in one of the most left states there are. And we need all the support and prayers we can get. So anything you can do to help us, whether it's prayer or you can help us financially, we'd greatly appreciate it. I'm also available to speak on a number of topics. I've spoken at several of the Patriot groups in Pennsylvania.
That's good.
Actually, just recently, I did another one at Berks County Patriots.
Okay, good.
A very large and healthy group. It was excellent. I did one on the First Amendment.
Oh, good. Yeah, Berks County has a good group out there, good size group out there. So that's gardenstatefamilies.org. Folks can contact you. About what's going on in Jersey, or about having you come in and speak, or they can also make donations, because I know New Jersey is a very liberal state, as you're saying. So
yeah, it's a rough state to defend faith, family, faith, freedom, and the natural family. Yeah. That's our mission.
Absolutely.
And it is a rough state to do that. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time, Greg, and for your willingness to help out there with the XK Educators Conference there with the NEA, at the NEA conventions.
Yeah. So thank you very much for having me, and thank you and for all the work that you do with AFA Pennsylvania. Thank you so much.
Okie dokie. You take care and watch out for that traffic out there.
Will do.
Okay. Okay. Take care.
Thank you, my friend. Okay.
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.